And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. Also, you can listen online by visiting the website, nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by Melissa Gott and her team over at The Law Group here in Wilmington. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll hear more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, as we wrap up this busy news week, I think we're going to talk about an interesting video that has been circulating on social media over the last couple of days. But I think before we get into this video, I think it's important to lay out not the current status of the Democrat Party. I think we've done a good job of walking through that over the last couple of months. But really to restate that the Democrat Party remains, and presumably will remain, at least as it stands right now, incredibly broken. The Democrat Party, and I think you can go back, this is not just a 2024 thing. I think you have to go all the way back to 2016, and he made in the latter parts of 2015, when President Donald Trump first announced, at the time he was just Donald Trump, first announced that he was running for president. He, of course, ran through, beat Hillary Clinton in 2016, and I don't know that I can sit here this morning and honestly tell you that the Democrats have ever recovered from that. And I feel confident when I say I don't think that they have. I genuinely don't believe that they have recovered from the humiliation and being so unbelievably wrong as they were in 2016. Now, of course, they gained back power in 2020, but they were largely inefficient under the Biden administration accomplishing anything. And so then we saw Trump v2. That was November of last year, 2024. And it is clear and obvious, there's no, I don't have any uncertainty about this, they have still not gotten over the election results from November of 2024. They just haven't. And you see it in little spurts and in little fits here and there, and they just haven't been able to deal with it. And this is something that could very well plague them going into the future. And now, let me be clear, this is something right now that is unique to the Democrat Party, but the Republicans will probably be dealing with something similar as we head into 2028. Since Barack Obama left the Oval Office in late 2015, early 2016, Democrats have failed to have really a strong person leading the charge. They kind of threw a couple of bones. They thought it would be Hillary Clinton. That obviously was a disaster. Joe Biden successful in 2020 to some extent. He was not a strong leader of the party. I mean, it was MIA for the vast majority of his administration, could not get a coherent thought out of his mouth, did a piss poor job in handling nearly everything that was put in front of him. He's not a strong leader either. And so this is a party that for at least now going on 10 years has really struggled to have a guy or a gal be the man in charge, for lack of a better term. They have failed to do that. And it shows when you see some of the ridiculous actions and some of the ridiculous nature in the way in which the Democrats operate. And the reason I say that right now this is an issue that is exclusive to the Democrats is the Republicans are likely to go through something similar as we head into 2028. Now, I don't think that Donald Trump is going to disappear as much into private society as Barack Obama did. But once Trump is truly out of the political spectrum, and once his name is no longer on a ballot and he's not eligible and he's not running for president, it's going to be interesting to see how the Republicans recover. Fortunately for them, they have a base, a stronger bench, I should say, than the Democrats did in 2015 and then, of course, going through 2020 and here in 2024, now into 2025. They've got a stronger bench. You've got strong leaders and strong candidates. You've got a Marco Rubio. You've got a J.D. Vance, the current vice president. I know that Ted Cruz is trying to throw his hat into the ring once again. There are strong leaders in the GOP. There really aren't in the Democrat Party. And it's obvious. I mean, just let's use the most recent example, the federal government shutdown. That is just the most recent perfect example of what happens when you don't have a strong leader. Democrats kept the federal government closed for 43 days with no plan, with no means to the ends, with no solution for victory. None. I mean, it didn't exist. And lo and behold, 43 days later, just back a couple of weeks ago, the federal government gets reopened. They get nothing that they wanted. That is not the sign of a strong party. That is not the sign of a group of individuals that can coalesce around a leader. Like, you know, for example, in football or baseball, you rally around the head coach. He's kind of your North Star. Now, he's not the star player, sure, but you rally around him. And politics, there's a lot of analogy and there's a lot of analog between pro sports and even college sports and politics. And right now, the Democrats just don't have that. They don't have the strong head coach. They don't have the person that's calling the plays, calling the shots. They're scattered. They're all over the place. So this brings us to a video that you may have seen on social media over the last couple of days as a half dozen veteran Democratic members of Congress released a joint video urging United States service members to essentially disobey their commanders, disobey their jobs. Now, they masquerade it by saying, you don't have to follow unlawful orders. But as we know with the Democrat Party, and we know with the modern way in which Democrats operate, they're not talking about unlawful orders. They're saying in general, Donald Trump is bad. Anything that is being comes down from the White House, we as Democrats believe is unlawful. We believe is a threat to our democracy. We believe is an existential crisis to our existence. Therefore, it is unlawful. Democrats believe that anything that Trump or the Republicans do is illegal. Plain and simple. That's one of their de facto go-tos. And to their credit, they're very successful with lengthy, long, drawn-out, expensive legal battles in the court system to prove this. Now, most of the time it falls flat on its face, but sometimes that takes 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4 years before it comes to fruition and we find out, oh yeah, that wasn't illegal after all. So they're very successful at weaponizing and using the legal system to their advantage. So before we get into any more of this, we're going to play through this video. It's about a minute and a half long and it's showing a group. And it's important to note, this is not the AOC, Rashida Tlaib, upcoming young radical wing of the Democrat Party. The individuals that you're about to hear from are veteran members of Congress. These are individuals that, in my estimation, should know better. Obviously, they don't, that put out this video. So here it is. This was published earlier this week.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
Yeah, great. Very, very insightful video there from this group of Democrats as they say, yeah, you can pretty much ignore anything that you want. This is very what I'll describe as dystopian. So you've got this group of lawmakers, some of which that you are probably familiar with. Senator Mark Kelly, a well-known guy. Alyssa Slotkin. A well-known individual here, but all of these individuals are relatively well-known. And again, as I noted, This is not your wacko radical fringe of the Democrat Party. And so you've got them urging military and intelligence personnel to, quote, refuse illegal orders, which by definition would be accurate. Members of the CIA, members in our Army, our Navy, our Air Force, they do in fact have the ability to ignore or refuse illegal orders. But of course, as we know that the Democrat Party doesn't really ever back anything up, just kind of, you know, these flashy public statements, but no depth to it. None of the Democrats in the video specify exactly what illegal orders members of the military, members of intelligence agencies should be concerned about. So they don't elaborate on what that means. And there's a couple of things that come to my mind. Obviously, one of them is here in North Carolina over the last couple of days when you've had Customs and Border Protection, which is under the Department of Homeland Security, that has been conducting immigration raids across the state of North Carolina. And you have Democrats, and we'll get into some of this in a little bit. You've got Democrats that are claiming what they're doing is unconstitutional. And so one of the things that is probably being grasped at, it's, again, hard to tell. This is one of the unfortunate realities of the Democrat Party. You make these blanket statements. You make these strong, you make this strong commentary. You have the right to refuse illegal orders. You don't have to do this. Don't sink the ship. Right? These very bold comments. But there's no depth to it. Like, maybe some examples in this would make a little bit more sense. Maybe some examples here would be going forward. It just, you know, that might be helpful for me, might be helpful for the members of the military, members of the intelligence community that you're speaking to in this video. That might be helpful to lay out for them. But of course, I don't know that Democrats can point to any examples, so that's why the video is only a minute and a half long and is filled with absolutely no fact and no evidence to back this claim up at all. So let's look at the immigration issue, because that's the one that's probably on a lot of folks' minds here across North Carolina. It is, in fact, not illegal for Customs and Border Protection to enforce federal immigration law. It is not illegal for ICE, Immigration, and Customs Enforcement to enforce immigration law. They have the right to do that. They don't have to tell a city, a county, a municipality, or a state that they are coming in to conduct immigration operations. Now, the ones that we've seen here in North Carolina over the last couple of days, which, by the way, has garnered more than 370 arrests of individuals illegally in the United States in and around the Charlotte metro area, from all accounts, very successful. Those operations take place all of the time anyway. And this is something that is obvious that Democrats don't really follow how any of these processes play out, because all the time you have got federal immigration forces that are enforcing federal immigration law. It happened under the Obama administration. It happened under the Trump administration. Hell, it even happened under the Biden administration. Federal immigration officials conduct operations like this all the time. Most of the time, they're not as maybe large scale as what we've seen over the last couple of days. But they happen all the time. And I mean, I've seen some ridiculous postings on the internet like, oh my God, immigration officials are here in, you know, Brunswick County. They're here in New Hanover County. They're here all the time, folks. They're here all the time. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, or probably not hundreds of thousands, but tens of thousands of people are arrested by federal immigration officials each and every year. It happened under all of the previous administrations. It's nothing new. These larger scale ones are. So this happens all the time. This is not a new phenomenon that we are watching play out in front of us. But for Senators Elisa Slotkin and Mark Kelly and the rest in the video. Those are not illegal orders. Those are orders enforcing federal immigration law. And let's look at the irony in all of this. We've got to listen to Democrats telling us that intelligence personnel, let's leave the military outside of this right now. Let's talk about intelligence. To refuse illegal orders, the same intelligence agencies that the Obama and Biden administration weaponized against their political opposition, the same group of individuals that arrested individuals in airports, claimed that parents showing up at school board meetings to protest men and women's sports, to protest COVID lockdowns and shutdowns, wanted to describe them as domestic terrorists. Those individuals have the ability to refuse illegal orders. The ones that illegally wiretapped individuals' cell phones in the first Trump administration. I mean, just over the last couple of days, there's a headline story over at Fox News this morning. Here's the headline. Feds secretly seize House Chairman's phone data while he was overseeing the Department of Justice. Here's the story over at Fox News. Just quickly, quick little aside here. The Department of Justice subpoenaed the personal phone records of House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan in 2022, seeking the Ohio Republican's phone data covering more than a two-year period. The subpoena obtained by Fox News Digital shows a federal prosecutor who later worked on special counsel Jack Smith's January the 6th investigation ordered Verizon to hand over phone data, also known as toll records, reaching back as far as January the 1st, 2020. The request appears to be the most expansive yet of a publicly known subpoena targeting senators and current and former House members during Arctic frost, the investigation that led to Smith bringing election-related charges against President Donald Trump. So this is just coming out now. And, of course, in 2022, that was Joe Biden and the Democrat Party's Department of Justice who were using the DOJ, the nation's most expansive, highest level law enforcement arm and branch, to subpoena a major cell phone provider in Verizon to get Jim Jordan's phone records. And by the way, that spanned over a two-year period. But Democrats are going to tell current members of the intelligence community, current members of the military, you need to ignore those orders. Isn't that a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black there? Maybe a little bit of irony in what is being said in all of this. The same party that will go to all ends possible to weaponize the federal government, to weaponize our intelligence agencies against Republicans, against conservatives, against their political opposition. And now we've got to listen to them pander. Oh my gosh, you have the right to refuse. You have the right to stand up against these illegal orders. I'm going to play it one more time for you. Listen, really listen. And I know that it's kind of hard to do because it's you know, nonsensical commentary. But really just listen to what they're saying. Listen to the words coming out of their mouth. It's important to do so. One more time.
I'm Senator Elisa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
So I'm going to just pause. I didn't want to pause this, but I'm going to pause this right here because that point is very important. Pinning intelligence officials against American citizens. How the hell can the Democrats make that claim after what we have now learned went on, both during the first into the first Trump administration and over the last 4 years? Maybe they've missed the polling. Maybe they've missed the data on this. People don't trust our intelligence communities because of the previous actions. People don't trust our, currently, the Americans do not trust our intelligence community because it is now fully out in the public for everybody to see that they have been a highly politicized entity. Highly, highly politicized. That's why the trust is gone. But as always, with Democrats, what is there, folks? No ability to self-reflect. No ability to look in the mirror. No ability to look back. I'm not asking them to look back 40 years ago. I mean, we're just saying, look back over what's happened over the last, I don't know, 12, 24, 60 some odd months. I mean, just go over the last couple of years. See what you guys did to the three-letter intelligence agencies, the CIA, the FBI, raiding people's homes, going, arresting Roger Stone at, 5:30 in the morning after tipping off CNN to be there, raiding Mar-a-Lago, the home of a former president of the United States, to try and get your hands on classified documents, laying all these papers out on the floor, cover sheets with nothing in them, but laying cover sheets out, taking a bunch of pictures and releasing it to the media to turn it into some big media frenzy. No discussion on that at all? You think that maybe hurt Americans' trust in the intelligence communities? I mean, I don't know. That's just my crazy thought on it.
For military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens
like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
Great. So what did we learn here in our second watch through? Well, Donald Trump's a threat to the Constitution. He's a threat to democracy. That's nothing new. I mean, that's been the saying now for a decade. And these individuals, whether they're in the military or in our intelligence community, should refuse illegal orders. What those illegal orders are, no clue. I assume they're talking about weaponization of the federal government. Maybe, I don't know. They seemingly have never cared about that in the past. And so they put out this ridiculous video with this patriotic music in the background. And well, President Donald Trump responded to it. He commented on Truth Social yesterday and said that this is seditious behavior punishable by death. And oh boy, did that get them all stirred up.
Donald Trump is calling for the assassination of congressmen and senators. Oh my God, he's threatening their lives. This is the same guy that came millimeters away from having his head blown off in Butler, Pennsylvania in July of last year. This is the same political party that had one of their icons, Charlie Kirk, murdered in cold blood just a couple of months ago by a wacko leftist political assassin. This stuff doesn't work, guys. This fear-mongering, this, oh my God, this our threat to our lives stuff business, it doesn't fly with us anymore. You have attempted to kill the former president, now current president of the United States. You murdered Charlie Kirk back a couple of months ago. This fear-mongering doesn't work. You guys are the ones taking the shots at us. You've literally weaponized your base into believing that it is acceptable to murder your political opposition. And so you'll have to excuse my lack of empathy when your immediate gut reaction to seditious behavior, which I would describe as accurate, you believe that is now a threat to your life. Oh, I'm sure the Democrats are a threat to their lives. Always. Trump gets almost Trump gets shot in the ear, has his head almost blown off in front of a crowd in Butler, Pennsylvania. But it's the Democrats that are at threat, that are at the threat. Charlie Kirk gets shot in the neck, killed in front of a crowd by a left-wing radical Democrat assassin. But it's, of course, you know, the Republicans' fault, as always. Always. Regardless of the issue, regardless of the situation, it's always our fault. So that, of course, has spawned up the media. That has spawned up the Democrats. I saw the Chyron, the lower third on MSNBC this morning. Trump threatens members of Congress. So, of course, you know, same action there. So there was a White House press briefing yesterday. Caroline Leavitt, great job. It's always a great job that she does. Forgot, I think I had her on the radio show a couple of times on the Trump campaign. She's always been phenomenal. And, of course, you would expect this to be asked, and I'm fine with it being asked. I mean, unlike the Biden administration, this administration is accessible to the media. This administration answers questions. Now, you don't have to agree with the way that the question was answered, but you're actually allowed to ask questions, and you will get an answer. Might not be one you agree with, but you'll get an answer. So Caroline Leavitt was asked about this yesterday at the White House press briefing. This is what she had to say.
This morning, President Trump accused six Democratic lawmakers of seditious behavior punishable by death. Just to be clear, does the president want to execute members of Congress?
No. Let's be clear about what the president is responding to.
Before Caroline continues, and I'm going to roll this back and play it again. This is why people hate, and I don't use that word very often, but I will use it today. This is why people hate the media. If you read this post from Donald Trump, seditious behavior punishable by death, what is that, five words? If you read those five words and your immediate gut reaction is that the president of the United States is calling for the assassination of six sitting members of Congress, you are mentally ill. You are very severely mentally ill. The fact that you could immediately draw that conclusion is insane. But of course, this is the mainstream media. This is why Gallup polling just out a couple of weeks ago, we talked about it, shows that folks have absolutely zero trust in mainstream media. This is the reason why. Self-inflicted wounds by media. Here's Caroline Leavitt.
This morning, President Trump accused six Democratic lawmakers of seditious behavior punishable by death. Just to be clear, does the president want to execute members of Congress?
No. Let's be clear about what the president is responding to, because many in this room want to talk about the president's response, but not what brought the president to responding in this way. You have sitting members of the United States Congress who conspired together to orchestrate a video message to members of the United States military, to active duty service members, to members of the national security apparatus, encouraging them to defy the president's lawful orders. The sanctity of our military rests on the chain of command. And if that chain of command is broken, it can lead to people getting killed. It can lead to chaos. And that's what these members of Congress who swore an oath to abide by the Constitution are essentially encouraging. We have 1.3 active duty service members in this country. And if they hear this radical message from sitting members of Congress, that could inspire chaos and it could incite violence and it certainly could disrupt the chain of command. These three members of Congress, I will also add, knew exactly what they were doing. You look at Alyssa Slotkin, she's a former member of the CIA. Mark Kelly was a captain in the U.S. Navy. Maggie Goodlander was a naval officer. And notably, she is also the wife of Joe Biden's national security former advisor, Jake Sullivan. And so these members knew what they were doing. They were leading into their credentials as former members of our military, as veterans, as former members of the national security apparatus to signal to people serving under this commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, that you can defy him and you can betray your oath of office. That is a very, very dangerous message, and it perhaps is punishable by law. I'm not a lawyer. I'll leave that to the Department of Justice and the Department of War to decide.
But the president has Caroline, can I just follow up? The president and the vice president, for that matter, have accused the other side of encouraging political violence. Isn't that exactly what the president is doing when he says that members of Congress should be killed?
Why aren't you talking about what these members of Congress are doing to encourage and incite violence? They are literally saying to 1.3 million active duty service members not to defy the chain of command, not to follow lawful orders.
Actually,
every
they said
single
illegal order, which
but
is
they are, but they're suggesting up. They're suggesting, Nancy, that the president has given illegal orders, which he has not. Every single order that is given to this United States military by this commander-in-chief and through this chain of command, through the Secretary of War, is lawful. And the courts have proven that. This administration has an unparalleled record at the Supreme Court because we are following the laws. We don't defy court orders. We do things by the books. And to suggest and encourage that active duty service members defy the chain of command is a very dangerous thing for sitting members of Congress to do. And they should be held accountable. And that's what the president.
So there's Caroline Levin.
This morning, President.
I mean, absolutely perfect response. And always the same thing with the media. They don't care about what is said. They don't care about what they have said. They don't care about what they've done. It's always the reaction to them. You know, I wish Nancy, I don't know what outlet she was with. I wish she would have brought up, you know, some of the illegal orders that these members of Congress are referring to. Because again, there's no example. Leslie's commenting in our Rumble live chat, so vague, I have no idea what they're talking about since they are saying American citizens are at risk. More grasping at straws from the Democrats. Exactly. I mean, it would be a problem if the commander-in-chief was giving out illegal orders. I agree with that. Even though I support Donald Trump, it would be an issue. The same way I'd feel it would be an issue if a Democrat was doing it. But if you're going to make such a bold claim and tell members of our military, members of our intelligence agencies to defy orders from their bosses, I mean, you would think, and maybe this is me being too logical, we know the left doesn't deal in logic, but you would assume that you would back some of that up with even just a little bit of evidence, just maybe an example or two to really nail and drive your point home. But of course, they didn't do that because the examples that they are trying to point to don't exist. And so it's always the reaction that they're pissed off about. Over the last 16 months, we have seen an incredible rise in violence against conservatives and Republicans in the United States. President Donald Trump was shot in Butler, Pennsylvania in July of 2024. Charlie Kirk was assassinated on a political campus earlier this year for voicing his opinion, for being a conservative. And the left doesn't have a whole hell of a lot to say about that. They don't have a lot of commentary on that. They don't want to talk about some of the rhetoric that is being used by those on the left. Case in point, just even this video that is driving people to believe that they are justified in killing their political opposition. That's what's going on. These individuals on the left have been radicalized by the Democrat Party, have been radicalized by the mainstream media to believe that it is justifiable to use violence to shut down the political opposition. Not because they disagree with them, because they're what, folks? A threat to democracy. An existential threat to our existence, a constitutional crisis. And so with those phrases out, mentally deranged Democrats, which is kind of one and the same, mentally deranged Democrats believe that they are justified in their violent actions. Since Charlie Kirk's assassination, Democrats have not woken up to this fact. They have not wrapped their head around how their rhetoric, the things that they say, the comments that they make, whether they're on the floor of Congress, on national television, on social media, that these things have a consequence. They have no ability to self-reflect at all, which is why I continue to state and I open the show with my commentary that this is a party that it is obvious has no leadership. This is a party that does not have a clear direction. Nobody is calling the plays. They are scattered. They are all over the place. They are throwing Hail Marys on every single play to no avail. And instead of coming together and saying, all right, we got to figure this out, it's just big throw after big throw after big throw. None of it ever lands. There's never a completed catch. Nothing ever happens. It's a joke. And so what am I supposed to believe after watching that video on social media from those members of Congress? What am I supposed to believe? That it's justifiable now for members of the military to just ignore their commanders? To ignore lawful orders? This is the same party, the Democrats, that believe in democracy, right? We hear about it all the time. We're the party of democracy. Donald Trump and the Republicans are a threat to our democracy. Our democracy, our democracy, our democracy, our democracy. Yet, I guess they don't believe in our democracy, as Caroline Leavitt very eloquently pointed out. They don't believe in our democracy in terms of chain of command. When an order comes down from the commander-in-chief as it relates to the military, it needs to be acted on. That's how our chain of command works. He's literally the commander-in-chief. It's literally his title. So, for the party that cares so much about democracy, fighting for our democracy, protecting our democracy, saving the United States of America, as we're always told that the Democrats are. It's wild. They are so lost. They are so disconnected from reality. They have no messaging going forward. And I don't know how this continues to manifest. This is a rudderless party right now, the Democrats. There is nobody that I don't think can pull them together. It sure as hell isn't going to be Zohran Mamdani, who's coming to the White House today. That ought to be interesting to see. We'll cover that coming up Monday morning. It's not going to be Gavin Newsom in the liberal progressive hellhole that is California. He's not going to pull them together. And who else? The mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg. He's going to be the guy that rallies all the troops. Give me a break. And they just have nobody. Looking at some other comments on our Rumble live chat this morning, Democrats continue to have no message, only disrespect for the administration. Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's been the same thing now for a decade. What ideas? Tell me what the Democrats are fighting for right now. Nothing. Donald Trump is bad. Orange Man is bad. Republicans are bad. End of democracy. Threat to democracy. End of the Constitution. End of America. Those aren't ideas. They're low-rent political talking points that have been so overused at this point that they have absolutely no meaning whatsoever. So, everybody's all outraged. The media is all outraged over Donald Trump's comments. Yet, no backlash for the members in that video, the members of Congress in that video, who are actively encouraging public servants, members of the military, members of our intelligence community, to ignore things that they don't agree with. This is proven time and time again. And I've got an interesting back and forth exchange here in North Carolina between two members of the North Carolina Supreme Court. This is pretty interesting. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I want to thank Melissa Gott and her team over at The Law Group for their continued support of The Nick Craig Show, and let you know that when legal challenges arise, regardless of what they are, put your trust in The Law Group right here in Wilmington. For now more than 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington, and they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or online, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate Melissa Gott and her amazing team for their continued support of The Nick Craig Show. We'll grab a quick break. We'll go into some interesting back and forth between two members, one Democrat, one Republican, on the North Carolina Supreme Court. We'll continue that coverage as The Nick Craig Show rolls on a Friday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Good Good Friday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us on this busy news week. Before we continue with our show this morning, taking a quick look at your weekend forecast. Things looking, pretty nice across the Cape Fear region. Temperatures today will be in the middle 70s, only about a 10% chance of rain, low rain probability today. As we head in tomorrow, temperatures in the upper 70s, 77 degrees, 30% chance of rain, maybe a passing shower or storm, and then temperatures on Sunday, upper 60s. And you'll see that trend continue as we head towards Thanksgiving, towards the latter part of next week, ahead of a little bit of a cool down for sure, but it's a nice couple of days here coming up across southeastern North Carolina. So we played earlier and been talking about this video out in which you've got these Democrat members of Congress, some of whom veterans, others military or military veterans, others former members of the intelligence community, urging individuals within the military, Army, Navy, Air Force, wherever, to ignore illegal orders. And so this is prompting to me it's not prompting, but it's kind of reinvigorating the issue that many on the right have been screaming about for quite some time, which is the over-politicization of every facet of our society. Whether it's television, whether it's movies, I mean, you can't get away from this stuff. And it's because the left feels the need to put politics into everything, which is fine. A lot of things are political. Sure, I understand that. I'm not oblivious. I make a living in the realm of politics. I'm not anti-political by any stretch of the imagination. But there is a growing concern over the politicization of everything and the weaponization of things like the judicial system, things like the intelligence community, which we now have very clear and clear-cut, clean evidence that that absolutely has happened. So this brings me to kind of our final topic this morning, an interesting, very interesting a statement on social media from Democrat member of the North Carolina Supreme Court, Justice Anita Earls. Now, it's important to note that whether you're talking about the United States Supreme Court or the North Carolina Supreme Court, individuals on those high courts, right, for the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the land in North Carolina, the highest court in our state, these are individuals that are not supposed to be overtly political. These individuals are supposed to uphold the law as it's written. And if somebody is defying the law, they need to rule. If somebody is doing something legally, they need to rule on that as well. So this is a very, very concerning statement from a Justice Anita Earls. This is all in relation to what we have seen with Customs and Border Protection and Operation Charlotte's Web, which has been going on in the state over the last couple of days. She put this statement out on social media. I cannot be silent while the constitutional rights of our neighbors are being violated right here in North Carolina. This is a Supreme Court justice, by the way. Across the state, we are seeing reports of federal agents stopping and seizing lawful residents and immigrants with no criminal records, causing many North Carolinians to be fearful of leaving their homes, going to work, sending their children to school, shopping for food, or getting medical attention. We need strong public safety measures, but this is not law enforcement's intended to protect the public. Indeed, it is making the public less safe, in part because it has resulted in abandoning the efforts to stop serious crimes. These agents are being pulled off of cases investigating sex trafficking, child abuse, and terrorism. This type of political stunt further erodes the public's trust in an already broken justice system. Well, that's interesting. I mean, she is literally part of the justice system, so that's interesting. The willingness of this administration to abandon the prosecution of serious crimes simply in service of political theater and to scapegoat immigrants is appalling. This is not who we are as a nation, and this is not who we are as North Carolinians. This is, and I know this word gets used a lot. This is an insane statement from Justice Anita Earls. Insane. You have got a member of the North Carolina Supreme Court, first of all, saying that people's constitutional rights are being blown out, which, of course, would be a huge problem if true, talking about how serious crimes are not being prosecuted. Are you freaking kidding me? I've got to listen to a Democrat talk about people not being prosecuted? I mean, seriously? You guys are the party of cashless bail? You're the party of catch and release? Really? The Democrat Party? The guys and gals that believe that it's okay for a repeat offender to continue to rape and murder and pillage and be thrown back out on the streets with a slap on the wrist? No bail at all? We'll see you in 6 months? You're going to talk about how that's not happening right now? You're going to make a point and make commentary about how serious offenders are not being brought to justice? You're going to claim that our judicial system is broken? What the hell is she talking about? When Republicans and conservatives comment and make the point that our judicial system has been weaponized, that it is no longer about the rule of law, it is about politics, this is what we're talking about. This is the kind of garbage nonsense that you are seeing. Anita Earls is on the North Carolina Supreme Court. She's not some random hack politician in the General Assembly. She's not some random congressman or woman from some blue state. She serves on the state's highest court. Now, fortunately for you and I, Anita Earls is in the minority. Democrats don't have a majority on the North Carolina Supreme Court. They only have two votes. Two Democrats on the courts. And of course, we should be very thankful for that. This is a very uncharacteristic thing for the courts. And I'm going to be curious to see kind of how this plays out. Because, again, it's one thing for politicians. It's one thing for people in a political circle to comment like that. It's a whole other ballpark when you've got a member of a state's highest court doing this. I mean, if you had Republicans, if you had, like, for example, Brett Kavanaugh doing this on the nation's highest court during the Biden administration, you'd have people literally calling for his head. But of course, Democrats can do it and there's no problem at all. So Justice Phil Berger Jr., who is also on the state's highest court and is a Republican, responded by saying this in a very powerful statement in response. When law enforcement at any level acts outside of the bounds of law, courts have tools to address those specific situations. That's how our system works, through evidence, due process, and judicial review. But blanket assertions about law enforcement action not before a particular judge is irresponsible. What undermines public confidence is not lawful enforcement activity, but the growing trend of judges asserting their personal opinions and positions without facts, without parties before them, and without the neutrality their office demands. Judges are not political commentators, and we are not supposed to be advocates. When we speak as if we are, we blur boundaries. The rule of law depends on judges who apply the law as written, not as they wish it to be. And Americans deserve a justice system where public officials, from law enforcement to Supreme Court justices, act in accordance with the rules and refrain from prejudging situations based on ideology. That is how you safeguard rights and protect liberty. There is currently a lot of noise in the public sphere about the trust in the judiciary. For those serious about it, they should insist that judges model the discipline we expect of those charged with impartial application of the law. That's the statement from Justice Phil Berger Jr. Phenomenal response. Phenomenal is an understatement. Extraordinary response from him. And he's right. There is a growing concern about the judicial system. There is a growing concern about the partisan nature of judges. Whether you're talking about a high court like this, whether you're talking about a district court or an appeals court, there is a growing concern, and rightfully so, after what we've seen over the last couple of years. I don't know what the hell Anita Earls was thinking. I, 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 I have no idea. I mean, she's not stupid enough to believe that this was going to go over well. She can't possibly think that this was something that was going to be fruitful to her and the Democrats. I mean, just an insane thing to post on social media. The blanket assertion that people's constitutional rights are being ripped away from them, stripped away from them, ignored. That's a very serious accusation. One that could deal with a very serious lawsuit if true. But just like we saw earlier in the show, with this video from these hack members of Congress about how you don't have to follow illegal actions. She doesn't back it up with anything. They make the assertion, they make the claim, but they don't back it up with any evidence. And I will sit here this morning and tell you that if U.S. Customs and Border Protection is or was infringing on individuals' constitutional rights in North Carolina, then the people responsible for that need to be prosecuted. Full sail, without a doubt. I don't believe that it is appropriate for individuals' constitutional rights to be trampled and stepped on. And so if that was truly happening, which is what Anita Earls is saying, then somebody needs to bring forward a very serious lawsuit, and Customs and Border Protection needs to be slapped back down into reality. Now, of course, that's not the case. They can't back this up. They don't have any evidence of individuals' constitutional rights being stripped away from them. But when they say that, it's got a good ring to it. Sounds good. And it's just building on the trend that we've seen over the last decade that anything or everything that Donald Trump, the Republicans, conservatives, anybody right of center, anything that we do is an affront to the Constitution. It's a threat to democracy. It's a threat to the existence of our nation. It is the same old rinse and repeat talking points over and over again. In years past, I would have looked at Anita Earls' statement and said, wow, that's a pretty serious thing. I look at it now and I roll my eyes because it's the same garbage, crap, and nonsense that we've been hearing now for 10 years. Everybody on the right, we're all destroying the Constitution. We're all doing this. None of it's ever been proven in court. I mean, it should be pretty easy to prove, right? If you're going to claim that an entire federal agency, the Customs and Border Protection, is trampling people's constitutional rights. I mean, they've arrested 370 people in Charlotte over the last couple of days. Where are the lawsuits? I mean, infringing on the Constitution, from my understanding, is a pretty freaking serious thing. So we should probably back this up with a little bit of action. But of course not, because that's not what it's about. It's about making a political point. Very, very stupid move for Anita Earls. And I'm very glad and I'm very proud this morning to say that fortunately we have got a Republican majority on our state's highest court. So that these kind of ridiculous statements and this ridiculous ideology from people like Anita Earls don't bleed over into our state's judiciary. Now, she's got a voice on the court, sure, but she's in the minority. And thank God that she is, because this is not the kind of stuff that we need here in North Carolina as Republicans or as Democrats once again lost control of the state's highest court. So bravo to them. Hat tip to them. Coming up a little bit later on today, the new mayor of New York City, Zohran Mamdani, the self-described socialist, will be making his way to Washington, D.C. to meet with President Donald Trump. It's going to be interesting to see how Trump handles that. I hope that it doesn't get into a big back and forth pissing match between the two, because Zohran's pretty good at that. He's pretty charismatic guy and plays the part well. So I'm going to be curious to see what happens. I'll be watching that throughout the day, and we'll have the latest coming up for you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, make sure you get out there and enjoy what could be the last nice warm weekend of 2025 across southeastern North Carolina. And thanks once again to the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for another busy week of the Nick Craig Show. Join us Monday morning live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, or 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. We're back with you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.